Earlier, but let me share about my experience when I was driving on Grenfell Street, northbound, and it is near the West 12th Avenue around that area. Okay, at the very beginning, I will notice restaurants, some of the boutiques, some of the shops along the roads. There is one theater, a very tiny and small theater in that area that usually I miss it. I didn't even know there is a theater there. I mean, in my first 2 years here. But when at night, that theater turns on the light, and it is easily to catch your attention, no matter you're a driver or you're a passenger. Not sure about you prefer to go to a cinema to watch a movie, or you prefer to watch some live performance. In fact, when you see there are many interviews about the onstage performers, they usually will tell you how exciting it is to perform live on stage. For sure, it is a challenge for them. They need to have lots of preparations, lots of rehearsals, because it is live. They cannot make a mistake there. And they cannot just say stop and then let me correct it and then come back again. There's no such chance because the audience are there and they're supposed to carry out the best. The scripture that we are going to study today, it is not a drama and it is not a play, but it really happened in the history. In Exodus chapter 1, as most of us familiar with, it is talking about an Egyptian king. He felt threatened by the people of Israel because they keep multiplying and also they grew exceedingly strong. So this Pharaoh took some actions. There are two major actions he has taken. The first one is he made the Israelites to work as slaves and make their lives really tough. And the second one is the major passage that we are studying today. It's talking about the Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill all the Hebrew male newborn babies. The Pharaoh not only wanted to control the population of the Israelites, but we can tell he is trying to make the entire race come to extinction. When the Hebrew male children lived, it is apparent that we know that from the scripture, the midwives did not follow the order of the Pharaoh. The Bible tells us the name of these two women. One of them is named Shifra, the other is Puah. And have you ever wondered when you read this scripture why the king of Egypt did not choose Egyptian midwives to carry out his order? Because you can see that from verse 15, it said Hebrew midwives. However, when we study more, the name of these two women, in fact, they are Egyptian names. And there is a very famous Jewish historian. When he studied this passage, he proposed that, in fact, these two women are not born as Hebrews. They are Egyptians. And they are supposed to follow the highest authority of their countries, the king. And he also studied that During that time, the midwives is not just two, right? If it is only two, it will be really chaotic and it will be really troublesome for most women. But in this scripture, why is that Hebrew midwives? One of the study is ordinary people, ordinary Hebrews people, they usually seldom employed midwives for the mothers. And the second, and usually only the chief, I mean those who are in charge or those who are in official position, they are serving, you know, to the Egyptian king, but they are Hebrews, they can afford to employ midwives for their wives, or, you know. And according to this Jewish historian, most likely these two midwives in chapter 1, they were the chiefs over all the midwives, about more than 500 midwives. So they are kind of like leaders of the midwives. And as we know now, they are not Hebrew people. These two women were in fact Egyptian by birth, but they were in charge of those Hebrew pregnant women. That's why some people call them Hebrew midwives, because they were responsible specifically for Hebrews pregnant women. Now, we cannot find any compliments in this chapter about the courage of these two midwives, nor we cannot find any words mentioned about their compassion. But for sure, we know that from verse 21, we can see that we were told that these two midwives, they feared God. Now, probably it is hard to imagine that they risked their lives by not following the order of Pharaoh and allow those Hebrew male babies able to born and not killed. And we also can see that it is God's gracious, and we are sure that God's, you know, really work in this situation that allow those babies not killed. And thinking about that, you will see in this passage is a word keep repeating, is called multiplied. And according to the Jews, they believe that if their race got multiplied, it is one of the testimony or one of the proofs God is blessing them, especially in a foreign country, Egypt. Now, as we are talking about fearing God, I'm sure most of you already knew that fearing not means you are only afraid of God, but also with respect and also honor Him with all you can. Honoring God is not something we are born with. It is something that we can learn. But it is just like the theater that I share with you. If we're just saying it, I want to honor God, but without any actions, it is just like that theater without the light on. Nobody will notice, nobody will know. But if you carry out through your lives to honor God, it will be like that theater with the light on, and people can tell, just like what Jesus said, they can tell you are the disciples, right, of Christ. Now, When we look at that, there are many, many Bible verses, especially in the book of Proverbs, that link fearing God with honor. So those who are practicing or really live out the life of honoring God, they usually will be the recipients of honor from God. And for example, in Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life." Now, we know that when we read the book of 1 and 2 Kings, there are many kings. And when they follow and obey God, usually they will be blessed, right? With their country more strong or more battles God won. However, if that king choose not to obey God, not honoring God, in not only in governing a country, but also his personal life, then you will see that that nation usually during that time is really unstable and it is not blessed by God. And God usually will pick another king, right, to replace him. Now, it is really our human nature, not only little kids. I'm sure we also have this human nature. When we make a mistake, we easily think of, hey, no one is around. Maybe I can get away with it, right? Or if we make some other mistakes, and we try our best to find reasons to justify our behaviors or actions. And allow me to share with you that I used to have two chow chows, two dogs, and they already passed away. However, there is something that I really learned from them, and they are really cute, and I view them as my little brothers in the family. They are not blood related. Both of them were boys. And it's very funny that my family set a rule for them. They cannot bite on our shoes or slippers. If they did that, they will receive punishment. As you know that it is fun for them to play with the shoes and play with the slippers. So once my family members found out, do you know what they do? Both of them will ran under the dining table and then try their best to get as the center of the table so that the tablecloth can cover them and then they can hide away from us and not to, you know, it's not me, it's not me. It's just like saying, it's not me. And you know what? We always can find them. Because their tails and also part of their bottoms are showing up, not covered by the tablecloth. So when they duck their heads inside, you know, under the table and covered by the tablecloth, they thought no one will find out. No one will know they are the so-called criminals of, you know, making all the mess of the shoes. And that really remind me, sometimes we act like these two chow chows. Sometimes even though our mind, our intellectual truly believe God is almighty, God is a loving God, God is, you know, a justice God, a righteous God, but we tend to, like what I said, it is our human and sinful nature and thought that, hey, if nobody see it, who can prove it? If nobody can, you know, take out some evidence, you cannot say, is me doing that? There's another really funny thing is my grandma, she was living in Hong Kong. There's one time when we visit her and I received some complaints. However, when we asked her not to do that again, do you know what she told me? Hey, you have no proof to say that I'm the one who doing it. So even grandma can justify, try to justify her behaviors like that. Now, thinking about honoring God, as I said, it is learned. And it is not only when you come to church or if you go to Christian school that you will, let's say, practice honoring God. In fact, it is your whole life, no matter you are at home, you are at work or at school, you are on the street, you're in a restaurant, we are honoring God, no matter what. And let me share with you another verse from Proverbs that talk about, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And it is really true that sometimes we overestimate our own power to resist temptations, to resist doing things that God doesn't like. And we never, admit that we have the limitations. We need God to empower us to resist those temptations and how to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And as I said, give you an example. There is a young man and also a young girl, and they fall in love, and becomes boyfriend and girlfriend, and it is quite common for young people. They want to plan to have their own vacation and get away from the city that they are living. However, when these two young people, when they plan their traveling, did they ever plan to involve God? Did they ever think of what they are doing? Is it honoring God? Simple as just making plans for travel, I'm not implying they will do anything extreme or not good, but it could become an obstacle to other people, or it will become a chance for people to speculate whether you're doing something across the lines because both of you are not married yet. And I can see that, I can tell you, in my home church, there is one young man and one young woman. They really like each other, but they want to honor God by not jumping into a relationship yet. They have been praying for each other, But of course, they need someone accountable for their relationship. So they ask, the girls ask for a female counselor, and the guy will talk to a male counselor and tell them, hey, I'm interested, you know, to develop further friendship with these girls and keep these two counselors accountable and walk with them. And guess how many years they become boyfriends and girlfriends. They start to, you know, really date. 2 years. 2 years. It's amazing. I never heard of people waiting and praying for their future possible spouse, right? For 2 years. And this is not a story. This is really a real life example. Of course, I'm not saying everyone have to pray and wait for 2 years, but this is another stunning testimony that to tell people when they are willing to honor God, God will bless them. As we read, continue through the other verses, we all know what happens to the midwives. What happened to them? They got family. They received houses and families. And many scholars believe these two midwives probably married to Israelites and have their continue with the generation of the Hebrew race. So they becomes a blessing, not only to many newborn babies, but it continues with the next generation. And I believe that there's many bumpy roads in our lives. It's not always smooth. And it is very, very important for us, before we speak, before we act, have you ever think of, does this honor God? Is it pleasing to Him? Have we ever prayed that it will glorify Him? And thankfully, there are some young people really listening, and they cancel their trip because both of them are not married, they are single, and they are Christian. They decided not to do it, even though they have plenty of resources and flexibility. I'm sure that it is not easy, especially for young people, but we can cultivate a life. We learn to honor God in all aspects of life through, you know, no matter you are studying or you are working, we still, every step, we are not only embracing the love of God, but we also learn to respect Him wholeheartedly and also know that He is the one in charge. Just like the midwives, these two midwives, they knew it very clearly that this is the order of the king. They supposed to follow it. However, there's another principle. If the order of the king is in conflict with God's command, thou shalt not kill, right? and they will choose to decide who they will listen to and follow. And now we know that these two midwives make a very wise choice. They decided to follow God. They decided that God is the one who is in charge and in control. And we know that at the end result, they are fully blessed by the loving God simply by obeying Him. Some of you might really think, do you think the midwives, what they are telling the king, is true? But I don't see there's any reason for them to tell lies. In fact, it is really, it's logical. If you have 500 midwives throughout the country, how can you make sure every Hebrew mothers will deliver right at the time that the midwives are ready, right? It's not necessarily able to make it. So it is also possible the Hebrew mothers, they are stronger, they are more healthier. So when they deliver the babies, it's really quicker than the Egyptian mothers. So it is really possible. And I'm sure during the whole thing, God has been watching and He is the one in charge. Although, I have to tell you, the sad thing is that king is really, really cruel. He's really mad, and he also ordered all the Hebrew male babies should be killed and thrown into the River Nile. Now, but we cannot just stop there. We can see that God is a God of salvation, not only just, you know, for a period of time, but He's always there. He has His amazing plan. And I'm sure that later on, when we read about the Red Sea thing, the event, we know that God is a delivering God. They deliver all the Israelites who are faithful to Him and also led by Moses. And they got away from the chasing of the Egyptians' military. And at last, want to say that from the book, from the Gospel of John, there's a verse talking about whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out to God. And I want to encourage you to think about your next step in your life, no matter it is your study, your family, your career, anything. Think about honoring God and becomes a light to the world as well. And as I know, last night, each one of us here have one extra hours. Have you think of even that one extra hour, what you are doing? Can it be honoring God? So, thank you.
Thank you for the word, Pastor Venus. It's time, as we all know, if you've been here for a while, it's the first Sunday of the month, and we at Pacific Grace, we participate in the communion on this particular Sunday. And so I'm just going to give you an opportunity in a second here just to prepare your hearts to take in and to participate in the bread and the cup. As we all know, if you heard me speak before, we're, you know, bread and the cup, and we take it together, we're taking it as a family. And earlier on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, he talks about how we share one loaf, and it's a symbolic thing, symbolic gesture of how we share one loaf, we break it, and it's a symbolic, it's symbolic of how we as a church, universal, not just here in Pacific Grace, but all Christians throughout all of time, around the planet, all of history, all of church history for 2,000 years, we participate in this same same breaking of this bread, of the same loaf of bread. and we unite our hearts with one another. And this is, and with this bread, we celebrate, we give thanks, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, what God did through Jesus on the cross for us. And so I just want to give you a moment right now, just to be able to kind of sit in silence in prayer and to prepare your heart for to take in the bread and the cup. This is not just about a ritual that we do. This is about remembering and this is about worshiping Jesus Christ who died for you and to set you free, you and me free from our sin. So if there's anything that's blocking you from participating, just want to give you an opportunity right now to give that up to Jesus and to offer this up to Jesus and let him take this load from you. So I'll give you a moment to, in silence to be able to do that. Lord, we come this morning with broken hearts. We come this morning with sin in our lives. We come to you as sinners, as people who rejected you, who've rebelled against you day in and day out, God. Lord, and I pray, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Venus's word, and the reminder for us to be mindful of how we are honoring you with our energy, with our time, with our resources. But so often we fail. But Lord, we know that you are gracious. We know that if we turn to you once again, God, that you will forgive. That the cross represented your blood being shed for us, your body broken for us, so that it wouldn't have to depend on us, Lord, so that our salvation doesn't depend on us, but it depends on your work. So we thank you for their grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love that you pour out on us, Lord. That you take the hit in our place, that you died in our place, Lord, for our sake, Lord, so that we can have new life in you. God, let this be a time that we can remember this and give thanks and leave here with this incredible joy, Lord, that only you can give to us. So we thank you. Amen. I'm just going to ask